Mesechtes Bava Metzia, Daf Kuf Vav, 7 lines from the bottom of Daf Kuf Hei Omer Beis at the new Mishnah. And this Mishnah will specifically be discussing a case of Chakiris and not a case of Arisis and not a case of a sharecropper. And the Mishnah begins, HaMekabel Sadam Mechaveri, if a farmer leases a field from a landowner, and the agreement is that the farmer will pay the landowner a specific amount of grain and is not based on a percentage of the crop, V'ochel Chagav Einishtefa, and a locust came and ate the crop, or a storm came and ruined the crop, in Makas Medina, he menakalim in Chakurai. So if it would be in Makas Medina, the farmer tells the landowner that I didn't get what I bargained for, therefore I shouldn't have to pay the full lease amount that we originally made up, and I will deduct from the lease amount based on what the normal amount of crops that this field would grow and how much crops the field grew this year. Rashi explains, v'halesa el b'chakunusa, that the din of this Mishnah only applies to a chaykar and not to a sharecropper. The ibikablanusa, my menakaika, what type of deduction will you give? That whatever you find in the field and whatever the field produces will be split between the farmer and the landowner based on the percentages that they made up, and therefore the din of the Mishnah is not relevant. However, the Mishnah continues, if it's not a Makas Medina, then the farmer cannot deduct from his lease amount. And as Rashi says, the Amaloi Mazal Hagarim, as the landowner says to the farmer that by the fact that this actually occurred in this field and not in any other field, therefore it must be that your mazel causes problem, and therefore I'm not responsible, and you can't deduct from the amount that you owe me for this lease. And the Gemara will explain how we determine if something is considered Makas Medina or not. And the Mishnah continues, Rabbi Huda argues on Tanakama, and he says that the only time that we said this halacha is only when you had a farmer that leased the property, and his lease payment would be from the crops of the field. However, if he leased the property, and the farmer made up a specific amount of money that he would pay for the lease, and he would pay it in cash, then it doesn't make a difference if it's Makas Medina or if it's not a Makas Medina. In either case, he can't deduct from the lease payment and he has to pay the full amount that he promised for the lease. And Rashi explains that since the crops had the issue, so the gzera was on the crops and not on the money. And as Rashi says, Shalom Moisli Nigzer Gzera, Hilkot Loyalel Hoysa Pranezu, therefore we see that the Pranez was not going to affect the owner of the field and only was supposed to affect the farmer. Therefore, the farmer has to pay the full lease amount and can't deduct any money from the lease. And the Gemara begins, Hechi Dami Makas Medina, how do we define a Makas Medina? Amar Rabbi Huda explains, Kagoyin the Ishtaf Ruba de Baga, that most of the valley had the same issue, and either most of the crops of the valley were wind blasted or Nishtafa, or most of the fields that are in the same area as his farm that he leased were also affected by this plague of locusts. And the Gemara continues, Ula Amar, however, Ula argues in Rabbi Huda, and he says, Kagoyin Shin Shtaftu Abbas Sadis Maburi Husea, that in order to be considered a Makas Medina, it doesn't have to be that Rova the Valley had the problem, but even if the four immediate fields that are surrounding your field had this issue as well, that would be considered a Makas Medina. And the Gemara continues, Amu'ula, that Ula states, Bo b'marava, based on my pshat, they asked the following questions in the West, in Eretz Yisrael. Number one, Nishtaf Talam Echad al Pnei Kulamai, what would happen if the four sadeis that are surrounding the field of this farmer did not have the problem, and the only problem was on one row of those sadeis? So the closest row that was to the sada of the farmer was also nishtaf, or there was a problem of chagavim, would we say that that's considered a Makas Medina, since lemaisa four sadas that are around his sada had some effect from the chagavim or from the shidafain? Ula continues that if you're going to say that in that case, certainly that's not considered a Makas Medina, but then I have another shaila, nishtayar talam echad apte kulamau, what would it then be if all four sadas that are surrounding this farmer's field had this issue, but the last row of their field did not have the issue, and therefore their entire sada was not subject to the issue of chagavim or shidafrin, and would that be considered a Makas Medina or not? And as Rashi says, Mao miyaminan de kibin ishtaya telem echad al pekula shiloy loksa einzu Makas Medina elamazoloi oidilma haishyura lav klumi, what do we say that since it was only one row that didn't have the issue, that's not considered anything, and we look at wave of the field? And Ula continues with the third shayla, if sekabira mari, what would be if surrounding the field of the farmer, all those fields were left fallow and were not planted, and therefore they weren't affected by chagavim or by shidafin, but all the fields that are surrounding those fields that were left fallow were affected by chagavim and shidafin, and would we say that that's considered a Makas Medina, or do we say that the four sadas have to be contiguous with his field, and if there's any break between the fields, then that would not be considered considered a Makas Medina, and as Rashi says, Mi Aminon Dal Tzadish Shesriv Yisrael Lo Nishtavu, Oydilma Amalei Im Hayezruyes Af Heim Nishtavu, if they would have been planted, then it would have been Nishtavu, and therefore it should be considered Makas Medina. And Ula continues with a fourth Shaila, that if you're going to say then the last Shaila, that it is considered a Makas Medina, so we have another Shaila, Espasta Mai, what would it then be if the four Tzadis that are surrounding the field of the farmer were planted with Espasta, which is a Michael Behemoth, and those fields survived, and they were not affected by Shidofrin or Chagavim, and the next fields that were adjacent to the fields of Aspasta, they were affected by Shidofrin and by Chagavim. And we continue and have Kuvava Meralef, and Rashi states at the top of the Amid, Mai, Mi Amina, Bos Sadish, Yisrael, Loi Nishtavu, and therefore it's not a Max Medina, or Dilma, Amalei, Elohe, Zruis, Tuis, Afei Nishtavu, that if it would have been planted with regular Tua, then these Sadish would have been affected as well, and you can't be right, that's not a Max Medina based on Michael Behemoth. Ula continued with a fifth Shaila, that Imtim Saloima, that Benegeas Spasta, that's not considered a Hefsik, and it would still be considered a Makas Benedina, Zera Achamai. Let's say it wasn't Michael Behema, but instead the fields that were next to the farmer's fields were all grown with a different type of a Zera, and for example, the Sada of the farmer was planted with Chitin, and the Sadas that were around him were planted with Kidneys and with beans. And the Shaila is, what would happen if those fields that were planted with beans did not have this issue, and then the fields that were immediately surrounding those fields, which were planted with wheat, did have this issue. And Rashi explains that even though Benegia Spasta, which is Michael Behema, we may say that that's not considered a Hefsik. However, over here, where beans are Michael Adam, so certainly we should say it's a Hefsik. Or do we say that's still not considered a Hefsik because it's Mimin Acher, and maybe the Xeru was on a specific type of Min? And Ula continues with a sixth Shaila, Chiti Lagabis Aaron, Kizera Acher Domi Oiloi, that even if you can tell me Benegia Zera Acher, that it's not considered a Hefsik, as one may say that if it would have been planted with chitim, then the shidofen would have affected the field as well, and therefore, as long as the four fields that are surrounding the fields of kidneys didn't have the issue, then it would be considered a makas medina. We still have a shaila in a case where the farmer planted his field with wheat, and the field that is surrounding his field was planted with barley, and in this case, it's not mamish a different zera, as they're all considered grains, and therefore, if the fields of sa'irim did not have this issue, so maybe we would not consider a makas medina, even though the fields that are adjacent to the fields of barley were all planted with wheat and they all had the problem of shidofrin. Or do we say that it's still considered a Makas Medina because although the Sa'irim did not have a problem, but all the Chitim in the area did have a problem, and therefore it would be considered a Makas Medina. And although the prior six Shailas were only relevant based on Ula's Pshat as to the definition of a Makas Medina, however, the next two Shailas will even be relevant according to Rabbi Huda's explanation of Makas Medina. And the seventh Shaila is, Kala Elim Kula B'Shidofin V'Shaloi B'Yakoin, if the fields that are next to his fields had a Mak of Shidofin and they were wind blasted, had his field had yakoin, which is a different type of problem for the tua, and it became very dry and yellow. Uinami, or if the opposite was true, that kolayim kulu biyakoin v'shaloi b'shidofrin, that the rest of the tua in this area had a problem because they were very dry, and therefore they became very yellow, and his field had a mak of shidofrin, and the Gemara shayla is, my, what would be the din? Would this be considered a makas medina or not? And the Gemara ends off all the shaylas with teku, and the Gemara continues with another shayla, omalei zarech Mai, what would happen if the owner of the field and the farmer originally agreed that the farmer would plant wheat, and instead the farmer went and planted barley, and then there was a major storm that affected most of the sadais that were in this valley that were also planted with barley, and the farmer's field that was also planted with barley also was affected, and the shaila is if the farmer could be menakaloi min chakurai, and the Gemara explains the shaila, mi aminon, do we say the amalei ilu zirat achiti having not mishtava, that the farmer claims to the landowner that even if I would have planted wheat, it would have also been affected by the storm. Or Dilma, what do we say? Matzi Amalei, that the landowner could say to the farmer, either zurat achiti, having mekayim bi, v'tigzo ima v'yokum loch, if you would have followed my direction and planted wheat, then it would have been mekayim in me, the pasuk in Eiv that states that when someone davens for a specific thing, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu will listen to his tefillahs, and since I thought that you were planting wheat, therefore I specifically daven that the wheat crop should be successful, and if you would have planted wheat, then you wouldn't have had this problem. And the Gemara states, Mistavra de Amalei, that it is Mistavra that the owner could say to the farmer, Izirat Achiti, have Mekayim bi, Vatigza Ima, Vayakum Lach, Vialdurachecha, Noga Ar. And Rashi states, Vatigza Ima, Mashitabakish, Mina Yotze Yasa, Vanilo Bekashi, Mina Shemayim, Betrilas Ashona, Sheyatzlichene, Bisairim, El Bechitim. The Gemara continues with another Shaila, Nishtatu Kosa What would happen if most of the sadais of the landowner get ruined, even those sadais that are not even in this valley? This sada that the farmer lease also gets ruined. However, rave the sadais of this valley do not get ruined. What would be it then? And the Gemara explains, Mi Amrinan, do we say, Kivin the Shtadif Ruba de Baga Loimanakle, that Lemaisa, since most of the fields of this valley did not get ruined, therefore it's not considered a Makas Medina, and the Chayka cannot deduct from his lease payments? Oidilmo, or do we say, Kivin the Shtadif Kula Arate, that since all the fields of the landowner did get ruined, so Matzi Amale, so the farmer could say to the landowner, Hai Mishum, Lesser the Dachu, it must be because of your mazel that these fields got ruined, the Hamishtatfu Kosa de Secha, because all of your Sadis got ruined, and therefore I should be able to deduct from my lease payments. And the Gemara continues and actually protects the landowner once again and says, Mistavra, that is more Mistavra, the Amale, that the landowner says to the farmer, Imishim Lesoy Didi, that if it would only be because of my mazel, Hamishtai Liporta, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have left me at least some part of my land, and I wouldn't have lost all of my land. Kedachsiv, as the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, Kinishanu Ma'at Meharbe, after Churban Bayis Rishon, and after Gedaliah Ben Achikam was killed. So the people that were left over said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu left a small amount from a huge amount of people that we previously had. And we see that even if tragedy befalls someone, and even if someone has a bad mazel, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't take everything from them, and he will leave them something. And therefore the landowner says to the farmer that by the fact that even this field that would have received a percentage of the crop from got ruined, then it must be that it's based on your mazel and not on my mazel. As if it would have been based on my mazel, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have left this field. But now that it's actually your mazel, then you're actually going to still have to pay me the full lease payment, and therefore I didn't lose everything, and it's actually a kiyum of the pasuk ki nishanu ma'at mehabe. And the Gemara continues, nishtatfu kol sadeis shel chayka, if the farmer's fields in all areas and not only in his valley were ruined, v'ishtadif ruba debaga, and in addition roiv of this valley was ruined as well, v'ishtadif nami habadayu, and the field that the farmer leased from the owner of this field was also ruined, mai wa obiyadin, mi amrina, do we say, kivin nishtadif ruba debaga minakile, that since Lamaisa, most of the valley was ruined, therefore the din of the Mishnah of Makas Medina would apply, and the farmer has a right to reduce the price of the lease. Or Dilma, what do we say, keeping the shtad of Kulei Arata, that Lamaisa, since all of the farmer's lands got ruined, and even those that are not in this valley, Matzi Amalei, therefore the owner of the field could say to the farmer, Mishum Lesef Tidachu, that the reason why this field was ruined was because of your mazel, the Mishtavei Kotzer Desecha, because all your fields were ruined. And once again, the Gemara takes the side of the owner of the field, that Mistavra da Amalei Mishum Lesechu, that the owner could tell the farmer that you can't reduce your price of your lease, as the reason why my field was ruined was because of your mazel. And the Gemara asks, Amai, why could the owner make this claim? Hachinami Neimalei, why can't the farmer say to the owner of the field, I Mishum Lesoy Didiu, if it would be because of my mazel, have Mishayeli Porto, then not all my fields would have been ruined, that Mekayim Bi, Kinishanu Ma'at Mehabe, as there would have been a kiyum of the pasuk in Yirmiyah of Kinishanu Me'at Mehabe, and therefore it must be that the reason why the field was ruined was because of a Makas Medina. And the Gemara responds, Mishum da Amalei, because the owner of the field says to the farmer, Yev Chazis L'shiri L'chamidi, that if it would have been proper that you should have been able to be saved at all, and the pasuk of Kinishanu Me'at Mehabe would have applied, Hab Mishtai L'chamid Nafshach, then Hashem would have made it that one of the fields that you actually own would have been saved, and by the fact that none of your fields were saved, and not even my field was saved, therefore it must be that your mazel caused this issue, and therefore you can't reduce the price of the lease. The Gemara continued that we just had two explanations as to the definition of Makas Medina. Rabbi Yehuda said, Kagoin de Ishtaf Ruba de Baga, and Ulan said, Kagoin Shin Shtatfu Abba Sodeis Ma Baruch Huseha. And the Gemara continues, Mesfei, that we have a Shaila from a Braisa on both of these Shitas. This price is discussing the din of someone that sells a Steachuza, and the din is that if Ruben sells his Steachuza to Shimon, then that Sada goes back to Ruvain at the time of Yovel, and Ruvain also has a right to redeem that field at any period of time prior to Yovel as well. However, during the first 2 years after he sold the field to Shimon, he does not have a right to redeem the field, as of course that would not be fair to Shimon that bought this field in order to have crops, and Shimon's intent was not to give a free loan to Ruvain. And the Braisa teaches us that if one of these 2 years that Ruvain cannot be paid to this field, was a year where the crops were not good and the crops got ruined, Oy Shvius, or was a year of Shemitah, Oy Shoyoshon Kishne Elio, or there was a drought, just like in the years of Elio and the years of Achav, where there was a drought and there was a famine, so Ein Oyle Min HaMinyan, since the crops did not grow, therefore this year is not counted toward the two-year count, and Reuven would not be able to be put into the field for another year. And the Gemara's Medayah Ketani, Shidofen V'Yerokoin, Dumya Deshon Kishne Elio, that the comparison in the Braisa was that Shidofen V'Yerokoin was similar to the years of Elio, and Mashne Elio, the lay of the Tua Klal, that just like in the years of Elio, the entire Eretz Yisrael did not have Tua at all, Afachinami, the lay of the Tua Klal. Over here also, it wasn't just Rav of the Bikur that didn't have Tua, but it was the entire country that didn't have Tua, Abalhecha de Ika Tua, Salkale, Veloy Karmina, Makas Medini, and the Mashmois is that if there is Tua in other places in this country, then it would not be considered a Makas Medina, and we would say that the reason why there wasn't Tua in this person's Sada was because it was the mazel of Shimon, and therefore Reuven would still be able to redeem the field after 2 years, even though Shimon's crops were ruined in one of those 2 years. And l'chir, we should also explain that when our Mishnah discussed the Makas Medina, it's talking about a scenario where all the fields of this country were ruined by Shidofen and Yerokain, and not only most of the fields in this valley, like Rabbi Yehuda stated, or the fields surrounding the field of the farmer, like Ula stated. The Gemara answers Amar Nachbay Yitzchak that really Inachinami of Makas Medina is like Rabbi Yehuda stated and like Ula stated, and that's Pshat in our Mishnah. However, Shani Hassam, the Din Benegea, Steachuza, is different to Amakra as it's Xer Sakasav, as the Pasuk in Pashat Bahar states, Bemishbashne Tvuas Yim Kalach, and we learn out, Shanim Shiesh Ben Tvuah Ba'ilam, that it has to be a year where there is grain in the region, and if there is grain in the region, it's considered Shne Tvuas, and even though many fields in the area were also ruined, it would still count towards his years, Benegea Din of Steachuza. And the Gemara continues in Es, Omle Rav Ashi Rav Kana, Rav Ashi Es Rav Kana, Elame Ato, if you're telling me that Benegea, the din of Steachuza, it has to be Shanim Shiesh Ben Tvuah Ba'ilam, so why did the Braisa state that the year Shemitah doesn't count towards the two-year period? If L'chayr Shvi is Talim Min HaMinyan, the year of Shemitah should still count towards the count of the 2 years, the Ikka Tvuah B'Chutz La'aretz, because in the region there is Tvuah, as right across from Eretz Yisrael, there is Tvuah in Chutz La'aretz, as certainly you're allowed to plant in Chutz La'aretz. And the Gemara states, Amalei Rav Kana responded to Rav Ashi, Shvi is Avkata Malki, that Benegea Shemitah, that's a Gzeira of the king and a Gzeira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as Rashi states, Hamelech Bitlum Lazeira Vairei Kumay She'ina, and it's as if there is no Tfuah in this area, and Malekara Kosovli Yisrael Shnas Tfuah, and it's impossible that the Torah would call that a year of Tfuah, and therefore in the Pasuk states, B'mispah Shnei Tfuah Yisim Kalach, it can't be referring to the year of Shemitah. And before we continue with the Gemara's next question, let us point out that if someone is Makdish their Sada in Eretz Yisrael, then of course the Gizba could sell it, and if the Gizba sells it, the money will be used for Bedek HaBayis, but prior to the Gizba selling it, the owner of the field could be paid up until the year of Yovel, and once Yovel comes, that field would go to the Kayanim. When the owner wants to be paid to this field, then the Torah sets an amount for the field, and it's not based on an appraised value, and the Torah states that you have to pay 50 shekel kesef for a base chayim seirim, which is for a sada that's the size of a base core, and the 50 shekel they have to pay for a base core is based on the price during the first year of the Yovel cycle. However, as you get closer to Yovel, the price would come down, and for every year that you get closer to Yovel, the price would come down by one seller and one pudyin, which is of course 1/49th of 50 shekel. And the Gemara now continues, Amalei Mazutra B'ed Rav Mori Ravina. So Mazutra, the son of Rav Mori, said to Ravina, El Me'ata Shvius Lo Taloi Min Agrua, that L'chir, when you're making this cheshbon and calculation, when you're coming to Yipoida, a sada that you will makdish to Hekdish, L'chir, why do we take into account the year of Shemitah, if the year of Shemitah is not considered a year of crops? And since in every Yovel cycle there are 7 Shemitahs, therefore we should base the calculation on 42 years and not on 49 years. Gemara states, Alom Matlan, and we know that the Mishnah Mesechus Erechin teaches us, Nois and Selo Punyun L'Shana, that the calculation is that you decrease the amount of the payment by one seller and a punyun for every single year. And of course, that's based on calculating a 49-year cycle. And the Gemara tells us, Amalei, Rabbeinu responded to Mazutra B'Rira Mari, Shani Hassam, the Chazal Mishnah Chabab Peri, that even though the year of Shemitah, you can't plant any Peris,
However, l'maisa b'negei the calculation of Hegdish, we have to take into account that that year was a useful year, as you could spread your payers out in the field in order to dry out your payers, and therefore we base the calculation based on a 49-year cycle and not only on a 42-year cycle. And Rashi explains that what's the difference between a case where you makdish a stei achuza and a case where you sell the stei achuza? And Rashi says the guy pidyon stei achuza loik siv shnei tvuos, that b'negei Hegdish, the pasuk doesn't say the lashon shnei tvuos. Therefore, there was no requirement that this sada has to produce payers during that year, and as long as you could get some beneficial use out of the sada, then it's counted toward the cheshbon. And the Gemara continues that our Mishnah mentioned that if there's a makas medina, then the farmer could deduct from his lease price. And the Gemara states on the Shmuel that Shmuel taught us lo yishanu al shezer v'tzamcha v'achal chagav, that the only time that we set this in is only if the farmer actually planted the land, it actually grew, and then the grasshoppers ate the tfua, or in the case of Shidufin, where the Shidufin came and ruined the Tfua, Avaloizar Klau Loi. However, if the farmer did not plant the field at all, then certainly the farmer cannot have a taina that I wanted to deduct for my lease payments because there was a Makas Medina. And Shmuel explains the Amalei, because the owner of the field says to the farmer, Ila Zerata, if you would have planted the field, have a Makayim B, then there would have been a Kiyim of the Pasuk and Tehillim that states, Lo Yaveshu Be'Israel, or Vimei Ra'ava Yisbo, that even in a time when things are bad, I will not be embarrassed. And during a time of famine, I will still be satiated, and my field would have been saved. The Gemara continues, Masa Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes asked the following question on Shmuel from a Braisa that we previously learned, Raya Shehayu Raya V'Niach Edrai U'Bala'ir, that if there was a shepherd that was watching his animals, and he left the flock at a time that it's normal to leave the flock, and he came to the city, U'Baza'i V'Tarav U'Bar'i V'Daras, and a wolf came and ripped apart the animal, or a lion came and trampled on the animal and killed the animal, Ein Oimim Ilu, we don't say that if he would have been there, that he would have saved the animal. But we evaluate if he's a person that if he would have been there, he could have saved the animal, then he would be chayiv. However, if we evaluate that he wouldn't have been able to save the animal in any case, then the roya is potter. And Rav Sheshes is therefore asked Rabbi Yehuda, Vamai, but why do we say that the shepherd would be potter? Name Malay, why does the owner say to the shepherd, Ihavis Hasam, if you would have been there, have Mekayim be, then potentially a nice would have happened, and you would have been able to be goyva on these animals. And as the pasuk tells us, when David was speaking to Shaul about Goliath, Gam Esari, Gam Adoiv, Hik Avdecha, that your servant killed the lion and killed the bear. And Rav Sheshes therefore asked Rabbi Yehuda that just like you said, that the owner of the field has a taina to the farmer, that if you would have planted the field, then nes would have happened, and my field wouldn't have been ruined. So l'chayr over here also, why doesn't the owner have a taina to the shepherd in the same manner that a nes would have occurred, and you would have had the strength and the ability to save my animal? And the Gemara answers that the case of the shepherd is different. And the Amalei is the shepherd says to the owner that I have his chazis le suchush lechonisa, have his rachish lechonisa, kerab chanina ben daisa, that if you would have been ready for an ace, then me being there wouldn't have made the difference, and the ace would have occurred, and your animal would have been saved, just like the ace that occurred to Rab Chanina ben daisa. The masin izi dubi bekanao, the goats of Rab Chanina ben daisa were watching, each brought a wolf back on their horns, and they were able to kill wolves by themselves. And therefore the shepherd has a claim that by the fact that your animal got killed, it must be that you weren't ready to have a nes to occur for you, and it's not my fault, and therefore I'm not chayiv. However, in the case where the farmer didn't plant at all, then certainly the owner of the field has a taina to the farmer that if you would have planted, then a nes would have occurred. And Ayin Rashi brings down that the story of Chanina ben Daisa is in Masechtas Tainis, where Chanina ben Daisa found chickens, and then he raised them, and ultimately he sold them, and he was able to buy goats, and eventually he returned them to the owner. And during the period of time that Rav Chanina ben Daisa were watching these goats, the neighbors were saying that the goats were going and grazing in their fields, and Rav Chanina ben Daisa said that if my goats come back and bring a wolf on its horns, then it will prove that it never grazed in your fields and never stole anyone's crops. And the Gemara continues and asks v'nei malei, that why can't the owner of the animal say to the shepherd that he the least rabba le'av chazino, that even though it's true that maybe I wasn't royal to have a great niece happen, however l'nisa zuta chazio, I would have been ready for a small nace, and if you would have been there, then a small nace would have happened, and you would have been able to save my animal, and therefore the shepherd should be chayiv. And therefore, back to our original question, the lechayra, how could it be that the owner of the field has a taina to the shepherd that maybe a nace would have occurred, and if you would have planted, then my field would have been saved? And we continue on daf kuf vav and beis, and the Gemara ends off kasha that in chenami this is shver, and I'm in the bottom thesis on daf kuf vav and aleph diba masal nisa zuta mi chazio, What is the major question on our sugya? Ha'amar le'el, if we stated before, d'chi amalei zara chitin v'zara sari v'shtadiv, d'motze amalei zara chitin m'kayim v'vatik z'oim v'yakamach. And we explained that the owner has a taina that I davened for good wheat, and my tefillos would have been answered, and therefore you can't deduct from the lease payments. And if so, Taisus is the koshkin kishalei zara klal, the lekei chacha sheiroi l'shtadiv, and certainly in the case where the farmer didn't plant at all, that certainly the owner of the field should be able to taina to the farmer that my tefillos for my crops would have worked, and there would have been a kiyum of a tigza ima by yakam loch. And Taisus answered the ishlema, the shmuel mairi kagun sh'amalei zara kol mashatirza, that the case of shmuel is specifically talking about a case where the owner of the field made up with the farmer that he could plant whatever he wants. And the hashtag loy matzi lameim having makaimi vetigza ima by yakam loch, the bestama loy makabla kaj baruch tefillos shazaz, sheyasliach kol mashi zara, im loy shiasle nes. Then in that case, we don't say that the tefillah of a person works when he makes a general tefillah, and therefore the only way that it would have worked is only based on a nes, and therefore we brought a raya against the shita of Shmuel that we see from the case of the shepherd that you can't rely on a nes. Taisus explains, the only reason why we mentioned beforehand that there's a pasuk of a tigzo ima vayakam lach is only in a case where he was being mispalel on a specific min and he had a specific tefillah, and in that case we say the concept of a tigzo ima vayakam lach ayin sham. And the Gemara continues, Tani Chada, we learned in a brisa, and the Gra says that the Rif and Rambam take out this part of the Gemara and continue with the words Amrish Lakish, but we will learn this Gemara, and the brisa states, Pamishain Ushniya Zirah, Ushlishis Ene Zirah, that even in a case where there's a Makas Medina, however, the farmer can't just give up immediately, and even if he planted once, and then the crop gets ruined, either from locusts or from Shidafain, then the farmer still has to go and try to plant another time. However, once he plants a second time, then he's no longer required to plant a third time. However, Tanya Idach, and we learned in another Braisa, Shlish Zera, that he has to even plant a third time, Revius Ene Zera, and he doesn't have to plant a fourth time. And the Gemara states, Loikasha, Hakarebi, Hakarebi Shimon Gamliel, Ene Chanami, the Braises are going according to different Shitas, as we have the famous Machlikas between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, Benigea Kedushin, and Benigea Din of a Katlanis. And as the Gemara states, Hakarebi, the Amma betrays Zimni Havachazaka, the first Brais is going like the Shita of Rebbe, that once Rachel gets married to two men and they both die, then she's considered a katlonis, and therefore over here, once you plant twice and both crops get ruined, then it's considered a chazaka. And Hakav Shimon Gamliel, the Amun Batlasim, they have a chazaka. And the second brice is going like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that says that the only time that a woman is considered a katlonis is only if she got married to three different men and they all died, and she then gets a chazaka as a katlonis, and she can no longer get married. And therefore, in our case as well, the farmer has to plant three times, and once his crop gets ruined three times, then there's chazaka, and he doesn't have to plant a fourth time. And the Gemara continues, Reish Lakish says, Leishanuel Shazar Vitzamcha V'achel Chagav, the only time that we've mentioned the din of our Mishnah was only if the farmer planted and it sprouted and it grew, and then the locust ate the crop, or the Shidafin ruined the crop, Alvazar V'loid Samcha, but if he planted the crop and it didn't even grow, then the farmer can't deduct from his lease payments as Matzi Amalei Balakaka, as the owner of the Kaka will say to the farmer, Kol Yimei Zera Zarela V'azel, that you're responsible to continue planting until the end of the planting season. And as Rashi says, Klema calls man Azriya Chazar Vizara, Shem Alohi Giyazman, as maybe it's not actually the right time to plant, and that's why it didn't grow. And the Gemara continues and asks, Ad Amos, until what point does the farmer have to continue trying to plant? As certainly at some point, the farmer shouldn't have to plant, as certainly it's not really the time that you have to continue planting, as not the proper time to plant. And Abra Papa, Ad Osa Risa Midabra, Vikai Mokima Risharu, that the farmer has to plant until the last time of the planting season, and that's until the Zman of Adar. And the Lashon that Rav Papa uses in order to describe the month of Adar and the Zman of Adar is by saying that that's a time that a sharecropper comes in from the Sadar at the end of his day, and the normal time that a farmer comes in from the fields and comes back to the city is in the 10th hour of the day, and the back of the constellation of the Tler, which is the tail of the Tler, called Kima, would be on top of his head at that time. And Rashi goes through the entire cheshbon of the Mazalos in order to explain this member of Rav Papa, and we already explained this in great detail in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah, but basically the mazal of every month is dependent on which constellation, the one that during that month is able to be seen at the horizon at the point of sunrise. And for example, as we know, the mazal of Adar is the dag, is the fish, and during Adar, the constellation of the dag is at the horizon at the point of sunrise. And of course, the constellations continue evolving, and every 2 hours, another one of Mazalos begin that to horizon. And if you make the Cheshbin, then the month of Adar, at the end of the 9th hour and the beginning of the 10th hour of the day, the Zonav of the Tler is in the center of the sky, and it looks like it's at the top of everyone's heads. And keep in mind that the reason why Rav Papa gives the shear and doesn't just say that it's based on the time of Adar is because that would not be an exact calculation, as the month of Adar is dependent on a lunar year, and the cycles of the season is dependent on the solar year. And Ayin Bach, who points out that when Rish Lakish said his din, Dafka Sheshabne Bagi Zoru Vitsamchu, that we're only talking about a case where the rest of the valley they planted and their crops actually grew, that meaning the Zara Zara Shane Royal Israel, and therefore we could say that the farmer planted bad seeds and that's why he has to replant. Avalam Itzel Kol Bnei Bagi Namilo Vitsamchu, but if the rest of the valley also did not grow, less Lomema Shekol Bnei Bagi Zoru Zara Shane Royal Israel, then the owner of the field can have a complaint against the farmer that you planted seeds that were not Royal Israel, and therefore he would not have to continue planting, and the farmer would immediately be able to deduct from his lease payments. And the Gemara continues that Reish Lakish just stated that the planting season continues until Adar, and the Gemara asks Meisvei that we have a brisa where there's a three-way machlokes. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Mishum Rameya Ima, and Rav Shimon ben Elazar states in the name Rameya Bechina Rav Shimon ben Manasseh Ima Kedvarav, and Rav Shimon ben Manasseh agreed to the words of Rav Shimon ben Elazar in the name Rameya. And we know that after the Mabel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Noach, Oyd Kol Yimei Ha'aretz Zera V'Kotze V'Kor V'Choyim, and the Torah mentions 6 different seasons, and therefore every one of the 6 seasons is a 2-month cycle. And the Brisa states, Chetzi Tishrei Macheshbin v'Chetzi Kislev Zera, and these months are the planting season. Chetzi Kislev Tevis v'Chetzi Shvat is Chorif, Chetzi Shvat Ad v'Chetzi Nisan Kor, Chetzi Nisan Ir v'Chetzi Sivan Kotzer is the reaping season. Chetzi Sivan Tambas v'Chetzi Av Kayetz, and Chetzi Av El v'Chetzi Tishrei is Choyim. And Rashi explains what is the difference between Choyerif and Kor, which both sound like winter, and what is the difference between Kayetz and Choyim, which both sound like summer. And Rashi states, V'choyerif hu chayska v'choyerif shel stiv v'yimetzina, that Choyerif refers to the coldest time of the winter, Lashon kashir yisv v'mecharfi chayska v'ikri, Kayetz hu chayska shel yavesh, and Kayetz refers to the warmest part of the summer, v'al shem yavshim v'yisaperek tamarim v'te'inim l'ktiyas, and because they dry out dates and figs during that period of time, and v'hin yikroin Kayetz, and that is called Kayetz, therefore we call the summer Kayetz. And Rashi explains, Kor hu soifik shel stiv, and Choyim is soifik shel shemesh. And the Brisa continues with the second shita, Rabbi Yehuda moinim tishrei. Rabbi Yehuda counts the seasons from Tishrei itself, and he doesn't start from Chetzi Tishrei Macheshvin Chetzi Kislev. And lefi Rabbi Yehuda, the planting season is Tishrei and Cheshvin, and the rest of the season will follow. And the Brisa brings a third shita, Rabbi Shimon moinim Macheshvin. Rabbi Shimon starts counting the seasons from Macheshvin, and Cheshvin and Kislev is the planting season. And the Gemara continues with this question, Man Mekel Bekulu, who is the most Mekel of all these Shitas? Rav Shimon, it's Rav Shimon. And even according to Rav Shimon, the planting season only lasts until the end of Kislev, and not further than that. And Bekulu, hi, like Ka'amar, and how could Rav Papa therefore say that the planting season continues until Adar? And the Gemara continues, like Kasha, had the Kibble Menei B'chafi, had the Kibble Menei B'afli, that in a Chanami, it depends when the farmer takes on the responsibility of planting the crop, as if he took on the earlier crops, which Rashi says refers to wheat and to rye, and those are planted at the beginning of the winter, then of course the latest point would be until the end of Kislev. However, if the farmer agreed to plant barley or beans, which are considered the later crops, those could be planted until Adar, and Rav Papa was specifically referring to those later crops. The Gemara continues and quotes from our Mishnah, that our Mishnah stated that if there's a farmer that leased a field from a landowner, and it was done as Chakiris, then the din is that if there's a maximum dino, then menakalay min chakurai. However, Rabbi Yehuda stated in Kibbalim Menah B'mayis, if the Chakiris was not based on periods that were grown, and the agreement was that the farmer would actually pay cash to the landowner, then ben kach in a menakalay min chakurai, then even if there would be a maximum dino, the farmer could not deduct from his lease payments, and he has to pay for the entire lease. And the Gemara tells us a story, how Gavir the Kabbal Aral Mizrabu Tumei Agudin Har Malkus Saba Bezuzi, that there was a farmer that accepted upon himself to plant garlic on the edge of the riverbank called Malkus Saba. His lease payment was for Zuz and his staker, not Malkus Saba. And the landowners that lived upstream from this farm, they diverted the water of this nar, and therefore there was no water that came to his land, and therefore the garlic didn't grow. And Rashi says, Ve'in Yerik Matzliach Ela Bekakun Nebertzis Be'eretz Lacha, and the only way that vegetables could grow is if the land is very moist, and therefore this farmer couldn't have even watered the field by hand, and he needed this water in order for the crops to grow. And the farmer came to Rava, and he said that I should be able to discount my lease price because ultimately I wasn't able to grow the crop. And Amalei, and Rava responded, that's not normal for the nar to dry up or to be diverted. And Makas Medina, therefore it's considered Makas Medina, Zil Nechile, therefore the farmer has a right to deduct from his lease payments and to diminish the lease payments. And the Gemara states, Amalei Rabbanan Rava, so Rabbanan asked Rava, Hanan Tanan, but we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Imem, Kibli Medu B'mois, Bein Kachu Bein Kach, Eina Menakalei Min Chakurai, and over here, the agreement was that the farmer would pay an actual zuz and would pay money to the landowner, and therefore he should not be able to deduct from his lease payments. Amaluhu, and Rabbi responded, Lest the Chashle to Rabbi Yehuda, that no one agrees to the Sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, and we pass him like the Tanakama. And Rashi explains, Makas Medina, Loya Lov Levade Avra, that this didn't only occur to this farmer, and it happened to all the farmers that were upstream from him. And the farmer didn't even have to think that this was a possibility, as in the past, the upstream neighbors did not block the water and did not divert the water. And we continue with the next Mishnah, and this Mishnah will once again be talking about Chakiris and not about a sharecropper. And the Mishnah states, if a farmer leased a property from a landowner for 10 kor of chitin for a year, and viloksa, and even though it grew wheat, but the wheat wasn't of good quality, that the owner can't tell the farmer that I wanted 10 kor of chitin, which were better quality chitin, and the farmer could make his lease payments from the tfuah that grew in this field, and he will pay him with 10 kor of chitin from this property, even though it's not the best of quality. And the opposite is also true, that if the chitin that grew in this property was very high quality, so the farmer can't tell the balabayas that I owe you 10 kor of chitin, but I'll give you regular 10 kor of chitin, which I'll buy from the marketplace, but the owner could force the farmer to give him 10 kor chitim from this land, which is of better quality. And once again, Rashi says, "Vizu b'chakiris hutzu chalushnaisa v'loy b'kablonais di'i b'kablonais pshita d'chol echad zeicho mischay b'chalkoi." As certainly this fits in the case of a sharecropper, certainly you're getting a percentage of the crops that grew in this field, and the din of the Mishnah would not be a chiddush. And the Gemara begins, "Who gavered a kabel aralas pasta b'kuri desairi?" There was a farmer who leased the property in order to grow aspasta, which is Michael Behema, and we know that aspasta grows very quickly and grows in 30 days, and he made up with the landowner that he will pay him based on kor of barley and not by giving him aspasta. And of the aspasta, and after the farmer planted aspasta and the aspasta grew and he cut it off and used it for Michael Behema, the chosh of Azor Asairi, and then he went and used the field once again and he replowed it and then he planted barley for Lokuhani Sairi, and then this barley that he planted got ruined and it wasn't a very high quality barley, but the farmer wanted to pay the landowner using this barley. The Gemara tells us, Sholcher Rav Chaviva Misura de Pras the Kamei Rabino Kai Gav Nemai. So Rav Chaviva, who came from Sura that was next to the Euphrates River, which is not the same place as standard Sura, sent his Shaila to Rabino and he asked, what would be the din in this case? Ki Lux and Nisle Mitechidami Oloi. Do we say that it's similar to the din of our Mishnah? And even though the barley is not of high quality, Lemaisa the farmer could pay the landowner using this barley? Or do we say that this case is different than our Mishnah? And the Gemara tells us, Amalei, so Ravina responded to Rav Chaviva from Sura de Pras, that Midami, that it's not similar to our Mishnah, as Hasamlei of the Arish Lichusa Demara, Hacha of the Arish Lichusa Demara, that over there, the only thing that this farmer was planting was this specific crop, and the deal was that I could pay you from the crop, and therefore, since it is what was produced by the field, so the farmer has a right to pay the landowner using the actual crop that grew in the field, as this was the intent of their deal. However, in this case, where the farmer said that I'm going to plant aspasta, and Lemaisa the field produced a proper crop of aspasta, the landowner has a claim to the farmer that my intent when I asked you to pay me in barley was because I wanted good barley, and I didn't necessarily want the barley from this land, and you have to pay me with good barley and better quality barley. And as Rashi says, "V'ilu zorla aspasta v'azol," And the landowner also has a claim that if you would have continued to plant aspasto, then you would have gotten more crops of aspasto, and you shouldn't have decided to go and use this field to plant sa'irim. And as Rashi says, v'hu posakim bai likach sa'irim min ashuk, and the entire deal was that the farmer would buy barley from the marketplace and use the barley from the marketplace in order to make his lease payment. And the Gemara continues, v'hu gavre de kabo pardes mechavre be'eser doni chamra, and there was a farmer that leased a vineyard from his friend, and the deal was that he would give him 10 barrels of wine and talk about Uchavra, and after they produced the wine, it became vinegar. So Rav Kahana made Mahayna Masisin, and Rav Kahana thought that since this wine came from this field, therefore the farmer could use these 10 barrels of vinegar and give it to the landowner as his payment. And as the Mishnah stated, Luxa Naisle Mitoicha, and Amalei Rav Ashi, however, Rav Ashi told Rav Kahana, Midami Hasamai of the Irish Lichusa, that in our Mishnah, the farmer and the landowner understood that the payment would come from this field, and since the actual crop did not actually produce a good crop, therefore the farmer has a right to go and pay the landowner using his actual crop. However, Hakha of the Irish Lichusa, in the case of the vineyard, the actual grapes were of good quality, and it was only the wine that spoiled. And as Rashi brings down from the Gemara Masechet Bava Basra, Chamra Kasper the Gavra Shava, Zer Kono Mizer Toiv Umazol Goyim Lahachmitz, that even though that he bought it and it was good wine, but his mazel caused it to turn bad. And in our case, the farmer would be responsible to give 10 good barrels of wine to the owner of the field. And the Gemara continues with Moed Rav Ashi, that even though Rav Ashi just said that the landowner would be able to receive 10 good barrels of wine, however, even Rav Ashi's Moed, be'invid kadoim, that if you have grapes that were infested with worms, or in a case where the grapes were left in the field for its normal amount of time, and the grapes got ruined at that period of time, that certainly the farmer could pay the landowner using those grapes, as lemaisa, that's similar to the case of a mission. And we still consider that's loy of the Irish Lichusa, since Lemaisa, the actual problem happened to the actual grapes and not to the wine. And as Rashi says, in Vedikadim and Novim Shestu, Boimer, Boiden Stuchis Liabish, be Mesa Kayets, the Kozman Zer, Oiden Suchim Kako, the Kacha Novim Shestu, Bim Botsal Dricha. And similarly, when grapes become wormy between the time that they're collected and between the time of the harvest and when you press the grapes, and as we mentioned, Hugain delay Ichru Yosim and Aminig, and it couldn't delay it more than the standard amount of time, and we will stop over here.